If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Right, you with Kaya Biz. I'm Sumitra Naidu, standing in for Guguletu Mfupi. Now, staying with money matters, the fact that so many South Africans are feeling the pain of this cost of living crisis, people tend to take on more credit just to get by. A recent credit stress report revealed some very interesting trends. Let's unpack those now with Andrew Fulton, director at 8020. Andrew, good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yes. So currently, nearly 20 million South Africans hold around 51 million loans with a total outstanding balance of 2.5 trillion rand. This is massive. That's a 3.2% year-on-year increase. Credit card growth is up nearly 6%, and retail credit balances rose almost 4%. These are staggering numbers, a little bit worrying. Can you take us through what's happening on, you know, what are the trends here? Who's taking out the credit? Give us some of the demographics.
Yeah, certainly. So every quarter we release what we call the credit stress report, which we like to sort of call the human face of credit, that looks at our segmentation and how they're kind of interacting with credit. So our segmentation has middle class, mass market, heavy hitters, and the comfortable retirees, and then sort of lower income individuals. And we look at how each of them, what credit basket they've got and how indebted they are or how they're dealing with credit. And I think it's important to remember that, you know, credit is a means to an end. It can be abused and it can get you into trouble, but it also, you know, I'm sitting in a house right now that I bought with credit. I couldn't have bought it if I hadn't been able to have a good credit record and apply for a loan. So, you know, there's two sides to that. So what has been interesting over the past 5 years since COVID is we've had an economic environment where, you know, unemployment has been quite high. The interest rates have been shockingly high. Inflation has been out of control for quite a while. It's now back under control, but it was certainly up in the sort of 4 to 6% range for quite a while. So what's happened is people's salaries haven't kept up, and if they had loans, they're battling to make payments on these loans that if their interest rates linked, you know, the payments on a monthly basis went up. So one of the worrying things out of the numbers is overdue balances. We see it's at about 200 billion. It's only about 8% of total debt, but it's gone up about 11 billion in the past year. And a lot of that is in credit cards and then retail loans, also in home loans amongst the wealthier. So that's a little bit more of the worrying thing, in terms of what's happening with credit.
Well, what then does it do to people that are sitting with these huge balances? Because then that lowers their ability to actually take on more. I mean, obviously you don't want them to take on more debt, but considering that you talk of, you know, the fact that the cost of living is rising, you've got utilities, you've got bills to pay, you've got so much to pay that you are turning to credit. But if you are sitting with this big debt balance and you're unable to pay it off, you can't access anything further.
Yeah. I mean, we spoke about that last quarter in looking at why so many South Africans don't go to debt counseling. Because what debt counseling can do, and, you know, if you choose a legitimate, honorable, good provider, like, say, Debt Busters, you know, what they'll do is they'll take your debt, they'll consolidate it, and they'll give you a lower monthly payment on an ongoing basis. It does cut you out of the credit market, and it does, you know, you've got to swallow a bit of humble pie to kind of say, you know, I let these things go out of control and I need help. But what shocked us was how few people actually take advantage of it. You know, something like 200,000 people kind of signed up for credit debt counseling last year, but you have, you know, about 10 million who are in default on some sort of loan. So it is worrying that people don't get the help where they can. You know, what we do see is a lot of this credit also extending into older age people. One of the focuses of this particular credit stress report was around age. And an interesting thing was we noticed that, you know, these rising living costs and inadequate retirement savings have led retirees to maintain or even increase credit exposure, particularly through credit cards. And once again, you know, the thing people borrow for, the number one thing people borrow for in South Africa is actually food. So those are some worrying stats.
Well, the research shows that people spend like 70% of their income on food. There was some research that was done a few years ago, and that research said that people were actually taking out credit in order to buy the food.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that is the number one thing that people borrow for is food, followed by travel. Which, and when it's travel, I mean, we're not talking, you know, travel to the Seychelles. It's travel to work, travel to kind of get make a living. So yeah, that is a worrying development. But once again, you know, there's also a lot of people that are taking out loans to buy cars in order to get to their jobs, and you know, hopefully work their way up through their job, make more money, and then be able to take on more debt in the form of, let's say, a home loan, store some wealth. And be able to leave something to their children. So there, you know, there is that side as well.
I'm interested to know whether that is a trend only in South Africa, where young professionals tend to take out finance and loans for vehicles first.
Yeah, I mean, that is a global trend. And what's happening is, you know, is certainly in, I'll call it the Western world, for want of a better word, but sort of more developed economies, you've experienced serious property cost growth. You know, prices of housing has gone up so dramatically. A lot of young people, so if I think about, you know, the employees in my company, they're 25, they got their first job. There's no way they could buy a house in a neighborhood they want to live in. So they're renting a house a bit closer to work or closer to the beach, wherever they want to be, and then they've got some disposable income, and they get a nice car. You know, you can get via class of finance fairly simply and fairly easily if you're an employed individual, and they put it into a car, which once again, you know, it can be a useful tool to increase your status in life, or it can be a, you know, ridiculously expensive money hole. Depending on whether I make wise or not so wise decisions.
I've always had an issue with that on how it is designed. You have to actually have some sort of credit in order to apply for anything in the future. So if you are debt-free and you have no products, no retail cards or anything, you can't actually apply for anything. Like a simple, like, you know, if you want to apply to take on a phone contract, they would need to see some sort of credit behavior. But this is how people get locked in. And like you say, you know, it could go either way.
I mean, it is astounding. I mean, I know many, many years ago when I got my first or tried to get my first via class of finance loan at FNB, they told me to go across the street to Edgar's and get a retail store account and build up credit debt, you know, and it was, I laughed. I thought it was hilarious that was that way it works, but it is still the way it works. And if you look at, you know, 80% of those under 25 hold retail credit, and hopefully for that reason. And once again, you know, credit is a tool, use it wisely, get some retail credit early on. Just don't overextend yourself and build up that credit record, build up that credit score, make sure you pay off your loans, and credit can once again be a tool to kind of buy a house, you know, get a car that can make your life a lot easier.
But it is one of those things that you can get sucked into so quickly. I mean, how does this early exposure shape you know, their financial behavior in the long term?
Yeah, and I mean, well, the one thing we do know from all the research is that young people tend to not do well with delayed gratification, and that is the danger of retail credit. You know, you can get that really nice pair of sneakers or that shirt that you think is going to make you look more confident, more powerful, more attractive to possible partners. You can get them immediately. Just go into the store, get some credit, and buy it, and that is a danger. And we have noticed that young people do tend to destroy their credit scores early on. You know, what's interesting about that is 40% of all defaulters are under the age of 35, yet people under the age of 35 only have about 17% of credit by value. So that's, you know, the challenge at the bottom end, the younger end. But what we also noticed was, you know, 38% of overdue balances are sitting with Gen X, you know, my generation, the 45 to 60 year olds. So, you know, theoretically, we should be more responsible and know more about credit and not overextend ourselves as well. But yeah, it's there's a problem on both sides of the age spectrum.
Lots of education needed there. Andrew, thank you so much for your time this evening. Andrew Fulton, Director at AT20.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.